And so I was like, oh, like it's all about framing. And hey, I mean well. This is why I'm asking these questions. I'm not saying no to you. I just want to be like understanding of what are you going for and what is your goal? Because you coming at me with, you have to do this, I'm on the defensive, right? And so I had to change like how I was taking how people were asking things too, and sort of be like, this is a business. Nobody gives a shit. We give a shit, but we don't give a shit to like, don't take everything personal. It's not personal. They're not coming at you. It's just everybody's just trying to get their job done because of whatever's being asked of them. Just come together to a good spot and just get there.
Welcome back to Tech, a podcast to help you feel less stressed and more focused to calm the chaos of consulting. Let's be inspired by the possibility that we can be happier by doing less in an industry obsessed with constant optimization. I'm your host, April Rest. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. Welcome back, everybody, to the Tech Less podcast. I'm your host, April Rest, and today we're with Bridget Chauvin, but she goes by B, and B's been in the tech space for plenty of years to age her. These are her words. She currently manages and coaches technical teams to build out scalable go-to-market tech and reduce risk of redundancy and spend. Ooh, can't wait to dig into that more. And also, more importantly, she's a proud mama to one seriously spicy, fun-loving kiddo. Welcome, B.
Hey, how are you?
Hey. Not like we did and already chat for 15 minutes. So, B, thank you for being here today. Can you ground us a little bit in how you got into the tech space? I know you've dabbled in lots and lots of Salesforce. Can you kind of take us through what got you into that and, you know, where you're at right now?
Oh, man. Tech was definitely not on my radar at all going through school. I was on track to do physical therapy and was in grad school for that. And I pivoted when I started having some health problems. I pivoted out of that space and sort of by like happenstance landed at a small little company called Plantronics at the time, and was an admin, just like a sales admin. I'll super age myself here. Admin tasks like picking up the fax from the fax machine on a certain time of a day, and just doing just like the most random things. And I was just so bored. It was the easiest job. Everybody was like, hey, like here, do these tasks. And I was like, yeah, it takes like 10 minutes. I'm here 8 hours a day. Let's do something else. The person I was sitting next to at the time, because we were sitting in cubicles, and I was sitting next to somebody, and she was like, "Hey, like you're bored all the time. Like, what can I do to challenge you?" And she was actually managing the Salesforce platform at the company, and she started pulling me in and started saying like, "Hey, like if you start learning how to like build reports, you're going to learn the functionality of like how things are tied together and the tabling aspect of data, and that will help start setting like the framework of how systems function and work." And so I always point back to Bex. She was my mentor, right? Like, and she got me started in that space, and it from there it sort of took off, I guess you could say.
I love this. I love that it's founded from a mentor. And where, like, ground us in what you're doing today.
So today I'm at a company, and I manage a team, a small team, and we build out every system that touches Salesforce, as well as Salesforce. And I'm we're just looking at building scalable tech, as well as like looking at tech that's in the system. Can we get rid of it? Does it make sense? Is it redundant, or is there other tech out there that's going to be better, like a better fit? Can we do any kind of consolidation? And like reduce spend for a company that you're working for, right? Like that's always like the biggest goal is reducing spend and just building scalable tech, which is really, really hard when a lot of people look at like systems like Salesforce. They're like, oh, like just put it in there. Like it's just like, this is a good landing spot. It's quick to get up. It's quick to get running. And you're just like, I don't, yes, but like there's always some risk to that just because it's why, right? Like I like to ask a lot of questions. I like to push back before we put any kind of like that type of work on my team. I always try to get as much as I can just because otherwise it's just tech debt. As soon as you put it in, it's tech debt. And so just being really thoughtful.
How do you go about pushing back? Like, what's your approach to doing that in a way that doesn't burn bridges?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's tough, right? Because I feel like there's always a fine line. I've done a little bit of like consulting. I feel like it's tougher on like when you're a consultant, it's tougher to push back because you're like your outside source. And so you sort of just do whatever they're asking you. So when I was on the consulting side, I had a really hard time pushing back, and that drove me absolutely bonkers. I don't know how else to say it. And so like as an inside source, like I just have to know my shit, right? Like if I can't speak to it, I can't push back. And so like the more information I have, like it's all about like the questions, like what questions are you asking? How are you digging in? Like what is the impact? What is the value that that's bringing? And do you have essentially like the ground to stand on to push back? Earlier in my career, when I was like solo adminning a system, and I would push back against everything just because I was like, I learned how to say no, and I'm going to use that, and I'm just going to anchor on it, and I'm going to go. And that caused a lot of friction. I had conversations with stakeholders on the side because my manager was like, you're sort of coming off like an asshole, rightfully so. And so I had to sort of change my tune, and I was like, well, I'm not trying to be an asshole. I just want to start the conversation. And so I was like, oh, like it's all about framing, and hey, I mean well. This is why I'm asking these questions. I'm not saying no to you. I just want to be like understanding of what are you going for and what is your goal? Because you coming at me with, you have to do this, I'm on the defensive, right? And so I had to change like how I was taking, how people were asking things too, and sort of be like, this is a business. Nobody gives a shit. We give a shit, but we don't give a shit to like, don't take everything personal. It's not personal. Mm-hmm. They're not coming at you. It's just, everybody's just trying to get their job done because of whatever's being asked of them. Just come together to a good spot and just get there. So I think from like a pushing back standpoint, it's evolved to a place where it's like, hey, like I'm going to push back because it doesn't make sense, but X, Y, and Z, I can give you this because it just makes more sense. It's scalable. It's flexible because I know how you function, and you're going to come back in like 3-6 weeks and you're going to flip that. You're going to change your actual requirements. We're going to have already shipped something, and I can't then pull my team off a project that is also of high value to go rebuild what you've asked. So it's depending on like, and all businesses function differently and your stakeholders function differently because there's a different level of technical knowledge and things like that. And depending on like the company, right? And so you're just like, okay, like, and you sort of bend to that. And so sometimes you're preemptively fighting the fires that you know are going to happen by being like, okay, well, if I was over here at this other company, I know I wouldn't have to really essentially like mitigate this, but right here, yeah, for sure. So I think it's dependent.
And like, what do you actually say? I'm just very curious how you approach, like, what do you actually say in that scenario where you, like, they have a track record of changing their requirement and wanting you to double back and, you know, in their mind, maybe fix something when it was built and designed per the requirement. What does that conversation look like?
You laugh and cry. Not cries in like a sense of like I'm gonna go cry in my room and be like, what's happening? You're just like, I was waiting for this conversation to happen. We're gonna do better due diligence around testing next time, and things like that. It like honestly, right? Like, it's not always the fault of the stakeholder.
Right.
And that's what I always try to be flexible with on. I'm not like there's I don't you just go with it, right? Like it's you know that this is gonna happen. Like I don't think that you can sort of pigeonhole it and be like, hey, like every single time we're gonna get this right. It's hey, look, we're running fast because we have to. Like this is the nature of the business. And so you're doing these short sprint cycles to get stuff shipped out. And so it's doing better due diligence, but also just looking at it and being like, okay, look, like we've got to pivot a little bit and we've got to look at this scenario again. But we like a lot of times, like I have my teams build formulas that are a little bit more flexible so that they can call on that and that changes behavior of the system versus like hard coding, like putting it in like a flow or anything like that. Like instead of putting it hard coded, I'll use that terminology inside of a flow of this is what we're doing and this is what we're I don't want to have to change this to hey like let's if we're doing it based on a formula then at least you have that flexibility for the system to just like be a little bit more pliable than saying like every time we have to update this we're going to go out here and update these six like different pieces of automation so that we can get to where we're going so just trying to yeah it's simplification.
Simplification. And do most of the project requests, do they come to you right now?
Yeah, every company that I've been at, I've always used Jira, projects and things like that to manage like my team's workload just because helps with visibility. Everywhere I've been, like I know that my team has get they're also getting requests inside of Slack, right? Like obviously. I think a lot of stuff just like rears its head inside of that, but I always try to have them like track back to Jira and just be like, hey, like at least enter it in there so we know that it happened and when it happened. So depending on what it is, just so that we have some sort of trackability of like, oh, you changed that? Yeah, guess what? And not like a like I'm gonna rub that in your face that you're the one that asked for the change. It's more just like awareness. And I don't remember your question.
I was asking if like I love that. You're like on such a great roll, and then you're like, oh, I don't remember your
I
question.
don't remember how to get back to that.
I was asking about do most of the project requests come to you? Because I'm
Oh.
curious, like, how do you prioritize? What factors do you look at when you're figuring out kind of what to resource out?
Yeah, yes and no. Yes. I have somebody on my team that does a lot of the prioritization and her and I meet like once or twice a week just in regards to that so that we can set up what the sprints are going to look like. And so I have her fielding a lot of that. But she partners with me just to make sure that we're looking at the right priorities and we're pulling things out of sprint that don't make any sense or we're saying like hey like what is upcoming? And she's actually really good at like finding what the projects are within the business. And being like, okay, like this is what we're gonna be doing, and we're gonna set it up. Some of the other stakeholders will come directly to me, and we'll just like go through, and they'll ask like, is this possible? Are we looking at the right places? This is what I'm thinking about framing out to your team. Like, what should I actually be looking at? And some of those tickets, I'll just go through and just like fine tune the requirements, just to make sure that we're just it. Helps reduce development time, right? Because it's like if you can have everything baked out where you're like, hey, like object account, this is what I want you to do on that object. This is like build this out, do this, like automation, end goal is X. Then it's a little bit not prescriptive because I it's prescriptive to an extent. but also it's from like this fact, like the automation factor or the end goal factor. I don't care how you get here. I just, you're going to be building it the best way that you're going to build it. And I want that flexibility for my team to be, hey, creative as possible, make that great. I'm not going to be like, I want you to build it in this fashion. So I'm going to give you the framework, end goal, and that's it. But from prioritization factor, younger in my career, I would just prioritize everything. And I was working by myself. And I was just like, yeah, let's go. Everybody is wanting all of these things. Let's go. I burn the fuck out. You know? But I was like, I was young. And you don't know how to take what the business is asking you and say, like, I cannot do that for you tomorrow. I have to have 3 weeks time before I can get you but what you need. And so that's taken a lot of time for me to understand, like, not even a lot of time, but it's taken me some time to get to a place where I'm like, okay, I know based on X stakeholder what the ask is, what's important, right? And you can sort of like, even when I'm telling my team, like, you can sort of start to understanding like what the true like urgency is, right? Like, look at what the end goal is, look at what the output's gonna be. Like, if you understand like the impact of what you're actually doing, then you have a better understanding of like, oh, actually that it seems not a lot. Like, but if you look at the bigger picture, oh shoot, like that actually is impacting like either the entire business, or that is impacting this entire campaign, like whatever it is. And so like even letting my team know, like, hey, like if somebody is asking you something and it has to do with this, like you look at it as, okay, like we could probably wait a couple weeks so we can get these other things done. And it's like, we're pulling that off your plate so you can do this, because it actually makes a lot more sense to be working on this. So again, I think that that has come from, you just have to start understanding your stakeholders. A lot of people, I mean, and you know, right? Like a lot of stakeholders can come at you and they're just like, high demand, everything is urgent and cool. Probably not. You know, like the louder you speak doesn't mean that your stuff is more important.
Yeah.
Right. And so I've had a hard time, not where I am today, but like I've had a hard time in the past where I've been like, oh, like this person, they're always asking for stuff. This is like the most important. And it's like, no. Like, because that person that just came up to me and was like asking for something, their stuff is actually way more important than, and just because they're not loud about it, like, doesn't mean that they're insignificant, you know? So.
And when something comes through that is maybe lower impact, or let's just say like the stakeholder wants it next sprint, but like the plate's full, it priority wise is at the bottom of the totem pole. And maybe you're not going to get to it for two or three sprints, or maybe even not at all because of the risk with tech debt. Has that, I guess, A, like, has that happened? And B, how have you handled that, if so?
Yeah, some of those, I mean, even some of them that you see that come in and you're just like, that seems like it's going to change significantly probably in the next few weeks. And you just sit on it. Because you know that it's like, okay, like I know the other conversations that are happening. And so you just have to really be aware of who's asking, just so that you can, yeah, sometimes making people wait, like really makes them think through, is this something I really truly need, or is it, was I on the spur of the moment, I was like, oh, I need this. And then you're like, actually, I don't really give a shit, or I don't really care. But like those, I always have like a back, like everywhere I've been, I've always had like, okay, like here's what we're doing in this sprint, and here's some things. If you are getting things done, if you want to be pulling something up from down here, like you can easily pull them up, just like notify so that if you need any context or anything like that, then we can inform a little bit more. So there's always like a, here's some low hanging fruit, like you could just pull it up. So like those like smaller requests and things like that are like, hey, that's not going to take that long, and we haven't prioritized it, it's easy to just like pop in.
Yeah, pop it in. And how do you keep track of your team's capacity?
I have two people that are on my team that are technical. So it's capacity, like I know, like it takes a bit, right? Because you're learning how like how people work, how people function, like how like a we don't size anything, but I size everything up here, but like it's like, okay, a 3 to you might be a 5 to somebody else, right? And so looking at the where they're at on their journey, and looking at it and being like, okay, look, like if I have 15 things assigned to you in one sprint, are you going to get it done? Like realistically, nobody should have 15 things assigned to them in a sprint, right? Like that is insane. Like it's too much, you're too diluted. Like where's the focus going to be? You're going to be like, I need to do this, 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 this. Like 15 projects at any given time is a lot. So it's like, hey, look, like if we have like less assigned to you, then you can get things done. And then we can, if we need to pull things up again, like let's do it, but let's not over like put you over capacity or stretch your capacity so much that we don't have any type of buffer for if the business changes and they're like, we need to do this. And I could be like, great, cool, let's do that. And it's a little bit harder when you have like really big projects on your plate, because then you're like, okay, I can't have three big projects going if I have two technical people, because that like where does that put, like if there's overlap, right? Because where does that put us? That puts us over capacity really quick, because then you're like, who's going to be working what large project? And if you know, like, so it's
Yeah,
a little
no, it
bit
gets really tough to
tough, right?
manage, yeah.
Capacity is I don't have hard set numbers of like, okay, we're going to be working on this. Like it's always based on like, what does your project look like? Who's working it? And then just knowing what their thresholds are.
Yeah. Is that something that you have to like report out on, or do you just keep it like in your
No.
brain?
Yeah.
Okay,
We send like, I want to say like the past couple companies, we've sent out like updates out to the business to say like, hey, like this is what was done. It whether people read those type of updates or not, like
cool.
it's all in Jira too, right? So, but I don't report out numbers saying like, hey, like each of these people worked like 25 points week over week or anything like that. Like it's, yeah. If you're not, I've always said it this way. If my team's not doing their job, the business is gonna know.
Right. Yeah, I think
Right.
for sure, like measuring the impact of the work over the number of story points, I think is more important.
I hate getting too caught up on that, right? Where it's like, hey, but you're not like executing this many points, like, and you're just like, but the quality, like if you're looking at certain metrics, like I get that from like a, if I had a larger team, I would have to do that, right? Because that then you're just like, you have to have something. If you have like 15, 20 people on your team, you have to have something to look at to be like, hey, like we got to do a split of responsibility a little bit more. I can't be assigning like April, I'm going to assign you like 1 point. And then everybody else is like 15,
Yeah.
you know
Yeah.
what I mean? So it's like,
I
and
do. That's my life.
so I'm like, if I had a bigger team, I would definitely implement that. But with a smaller team, it's easy sort of just to not keep tabs, but like be like very just aware and in it and knowing
Yeah.
exactly what they're working on.
Yeah, 'cause you're in it. I mean, I think also in like your circumstance, thinking in comparison to mine is like I'm not a technical lead or a technical architect, and so I'm not in the work. I'm not designing the work and passing it off to maybe more junior team members to execute. I'm planning the work. So I think it's very different because I'm not in any of the technical weeds. And so that's where I've kind of got to fall back on knowing. I still try to make each person's capacity unique to them. Like a senior person is going to have, like, they're going to be able to get through the work faster. So their point, like their capacity points, I always put them higher. And like I check in with them, like, does this still make sense? And for our new team members, I do the same and like give them extra points as kind of like training points because I know it's going to take them longer to do things.
But
And that's just
yeah.
how it is, you know? And anyway, I digress. I did want to ask you before, because I know we're getting close to time. What does your, like, what's your take on work-life balance slash work-life integration, and has that shifted over the course of your career?
It's definitely shifted. Like a lot. When I was younger, my career, I was like all in. I mean, you were in an like I was in an office, right? And so it was like you show up at work, you're supposed to be there at 8, you show up at 7:50 because I'm type A. And you stay until 5 and you're like, I'm in it. And even a little bit later in my career, it was still that way where I was like, yeah, you show up, you're there, you maybe take a 30-minute lunch, but you're there. There's events at work, I'm there. Like, oh, you guys are going to a happy hour, or you're going, like, there's this event, there's that, like everything. And then as I started getting like older, I was like, I'll still show up for like do the thing. Go all out, but I'm not going to do the after work happy hour because I have my own life. Like, I'll go hang out with like friends or something, but I'm not going to do a work one. And then it was like, now I have a kid. Now I have a kid. What time do I have to be at work? Why? Why do I have to go to work? And like, I started doing like flex a little bit where I was like, I'm leaving at 4 because I got to catch the train. That was when I was living in Austin. I was like, I would take the train downtown. I was like, I gotta catch the train. And then it was like, why am I taking the train? Like, what if something happens? Now I'm gonna drive to work. Now I'm like very flexible on I'm a morning person. I'm gonna be online at 6 a.m. and I'm gonna be offline at 2 because I wanna hang out with my kid. That is so important to me. The ability to be able to be like flexible on that. So that I can do the work thing, have my family time, like logging off work and like hanging out with Diego is by far like my favorite part of the day. Like we go biking, we do like whatever, but it's like that balance. If I didn't have that type of balance, I wouldn't work. I just can't like I it's like you have one life, right? Like you have one life. If
Yes.
like purposefully I have a child, like it wasn't an accident. I have a child. I want to be able to spend that time with him. I don't want that like my main focus to be just like to be work. I want it to be, hey, look, like I'm working. I do everything that I need to do within my workday, but I don't want my, like, I don't want my son to look at me and be like, why are you deprioritizing me? Like, what am I to you? Right. Like, I want him to know that he is by far the most important person and that he's valued. Right. Like, I don't want him to think that I'm just like there, you know, like I work from home. He sees me. He knows I'm in my office. Like, I can hear like, when I'm working and he is home, you can hear him like, when's mom off work, you know? And you're just like, oh, like, why do I have to be on this call? You know? So it's like, that's tough, because it's like, you hear that he understands, like, he's a little bit older, but like, does he understand, you know, fully? Like, it's not that I don't want to hang out with him. Like, it's, hey, like, we have to work, somebody has to work, you know? So it's like, yeah, it's tough. But I try to be available as like much as possible. And so him and I have our like special time in the morning that we hang out. And
I love that. I hope I get to meet Diego one day and you like in person.
I know.
That'd be awesome.
Come up to the Pacific Northwest.
Seriously, I need to get back up there. Do you have any tips for other people? Like, I feel like people probably can relate to this because I experienced this. Like, when I was in that stage, if you will, of like, I'm all in. But then I would see people living more like how you are now. I'm like, oh, I want to get there. But I didn't really know how at the time. Like, was there something that helped you maybe set those boundaries at work, or like a shift in how you viewed work, like something maybe tactical that someone listening could try to implement?
I mean, I feel like moving to the West Coast helped me be able to set that, like, to set that boundary, right? Like, I had a boundary before I moved to the West Coast where it was like, I'm going to be off, like, offline after 4 p.m. I'm not going to be online after 4. And then it was, as soon as I moved this way, I was like, this is the perfect opportunity, because I, like, most everybody's on that works on the East Coast. And part of my team is in India. And so I was like, if I work East Coast hours, or if I work a little bit before East Coast hours, I automatically get my day back. Right. So that, like, I know that doesn't give you like what you want on like the boundary piece, but it, for me, that's like, that was like the shift there of, oh, like, I'm a morning person. Let's go. Like, I don't want to be that person that logs into work at 10, 11 a.m. because then I work later in the evening and I have my morning back to myself, but I don't want the morning back to myself. I want my day back to myself, because I don't want to have like a great morning and then be like, I still have to log on to work. I want to be like, get shit done and then just like go have a day. So that, like, that helped me set that boundary. I don't remember what your second question was.
I think it was about the same thing. I don't remember either, but I just like something tactical for people to
yeah,
try to implement.
I mean,
but
yeah, I mean, I just, I think like the tactical piece to implement, I mean, just being okay with that, right? Like, seeing what the flexibility is from like whoever you work for, if you work for yourself, being like safeguarded on your time. Don't feel like you have to be online all the time. I think it's really tough, right? And I think that like with COVID and everything, or like a lot more people just like working from home, it's so easy to just be like, oh, okay, well, my computer's here, I can just be online, or I should be online, or maybe I should be checking in, because you haven't set that actual boundary inside of your head, and you haven't reframed it of like, you know what, like, I work for an employer, but this is the time that I'm giving them, right? Like, I'm sure if my employer heard me say that, that's great. But like, but you know what I mean? Like,
Well,
but
yeah, I
there,
mean, it's a
but you,
contract. Like, they're exchanging.
you're exchanging hours for like money, right? Like, and it's, if you are burning out because you're being available 24/7, that's not beneficial to your employer. That's not beneficial to yourself. That's not beneficial to anybody, because then you're like, you're burnt out, right? So just being, giving yourself the grace to be like, to set that boundary and just say like, this is, block your calendar. That's, I do
Oh yeah, I left black on my calendar.
that.
Okay. Do you have a favorite quote? I didn't prep you for this one.
You didn't. I was like, that's cheating, April. I wish I could remember it, because it was a, it's not even a quote, but it's a meme that somebody sent me. They, Joe, like my buddy Joe, he used to work for me. He would always send me this meme, and it was like the funniest. And it was, I wish I could, I cannot remember. It was like a Michael Jordan one. Michael Jordan's like, it's like, stop. Oh man, now I'm gonna have to send it to you after this.
Yes.
But I don't know. I like, just enjoy life, live your life. That's nobody's quote. That's just me.
Is it the Michael Jordan meme where he goes, "Stop it, get some help"?
Yes. Him and
I
I
just
worked in an
Googled
office. Him and I worked in an office
it.
together, and every time, like, there would be people that would come up, and I just remember Joe had it printed out, and somebody would walk away, and he would just like flash that like meme up to me, and it was just like so good. So every now and then, him and I send that back and forth to each other. It's like the best.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. I'm gonna go down a rabbit hole about that and like link that in the show notes. Oh my gosh. If listeners want to learn more about you, is there a place they can do that?
Not social media, because I'm not really on there. Probably not. Probably LinkedIn. Like, that's probably the best
LinkedIn.
place. Yeah.
That's what most people say, is their LinkedIn. I'm not out here giving
Yeah.
my personal social. Not that I'm
Well,
even on social very
I
much, but like, no.
don't stalk me. No, I'm kidding. It's yeah, but LinkedIn.
All right. I'll put that in the notes then, just in case anybody wants to pop over and say hi. Cool. Well, V, is there anything else that you want to leave our listeners with?
No, this has been great. I don't have
Been fun.
anything. Yeah, it has.
Well, that's good.
Thank you for having me on. It was good
Oh,
chatting.
yeah, it was.